last week, we began by making it clear that although we've made something dirty, something standoffish, something prudish, something that we should warn everyone about, that is an inappropriate and unbiblical look at human sexuality. God made it. God created it. God poured himself into it as a gift for us. God, from the beginning, constructed all the ways and said it is good. All right? So right off the bat, we know that it was created by God, it was made by God, that it is good. There is a book in the Bible, all right, after God said, be fruitful and multiply, all right, that doesn't happen by going swimming together, okay, that doesn't happen by it rains and gremlins pop off of you, okay, there's a way that this happens, and sex is it, okay, God said, have at it, all right, then there's a whole book in the Bible that is not about reproduction, okay, they don't get intimate together. If you were honey, I would suck you up. Your navel is like a goblet. All right, remember this part? Your belly, your stomach is like a heap. And I warned you not to use that one. Okay? Guys, don't, you know, if you're gonna use Song of Solomon, don't use that verse. Your wife's belly is a heap of nothing. Okay, never heap, mound, never. Okay? Got it? All right. But there's a whole book that is, I mean, they would not let their young men read, all right? As Hebrews. So it is beautifully erotic. Eros is the scriptural word for it, okay? So we realize that it's God made. We realize that it's wonderful, okay? But we realize that it is wonderful within the confines of understanding it. Now, I'm going to play that out more today, but I want to continue with where we were last week in this. God said, and the man shall leave his mother, and the two shall become one flesh, all right? In that moment, there is not just a physical connection. In their culture, the physical connection came later. That's where we get consummating a marriage. What God does is he joins the spirits, joins the souls together, and then you go and you join the bodies together, all right? You are physically and spiritually one, okay? And that happens in what we call marriage, okay? Within the confines of marriage, God can make two people one and can bring us where we're going to end up at the end of the sermon today. Now, because it has been perverted, because it is overwhelmingly more accessible, because we do not have any self-control, I'll get more into that later also, because we have broken it, the way that we have decided to fix it is the way that Christians decide to fix a lot of things. Once something goes badly, ban it. Think for a minute. Once something goes badly, ban it. My grandparents, all right, and it was really funny. They kind of struggled with the whole idea of cards in general. Now, they would play Rook like nobody's business, okay? But you got to watch out for cards, all right? You got to watch out for poker, all right? You got to watch out for dancing. Oh, heavens to Betsy. I made it into cotillion. Well, what are you sending that boy to a dance for? Oh, Luna, thou shalt not dance, because that's in the scripture, as David rips his clothes off, dances around in the street and prays to the Lord. Now, I do not stand before you recommending that, okay? But to call dancing sinful is wrong. We've done it throughout the years with all kinds of things. It doesn't matter if it's God-given. It doesn't matter if it's wonderful. You just shouldn't do it. You all can think of things right now that we've gone and we've said, no, just stop it completely, even if the Bible says enjoy it. And we've done that with sex and with sexuality. And we've created a culture, men and women, who are literally afraid of it or combative towards it. And because we've done that, we've made the rest the enemy. The people who have gotten lost in it, been abused by it, whose souls have been ripped from them by someone else. and we've made them evil. We've made them broken. We've made them bruised. We've pointed our fingers at them and called them dirty. And we've responded wrongly. Because it was my Jesus who waited at the well for the prostitute woman to come and spend time with him. It was my Jesus who came out into the temple courts and wrote on the ground with his finger as the religious people pointed fingers at the woman who was caught in the act of adultery. And he said, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And he said, go and be free. Go in peace and sin no more. It was my Jesus who sat in the home of the church folk when the prostitute woman, when the woman of ill repute came busting in to the crowd, found this person named Jesus, wept over his bare feet, poured expensive perfume on it. And to Jesus, this was just a heartwarming emotional act. But to the religious, it was a, what is she doing in my house, on my floor, at my table, with my Jesus? And Jesus looked up at him and in a loose translation said, oh, no, he did not. And from that comes the verse, he who has been forgiven much loves much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. We have a weak faith. We have a shallow faith. When we make our faith about the rules, when we make our faith about religion and we ban things in the name of safety to our religious movement and don't celebrate things that God gave us to enjoy. Don't get me wrong. There are things that we enjoy, church, that we ought not enjoy. There are fields that we dance in that we ought not dance. There are lines that we cross that we ought not cross. I want to be clear. I'm not giving you license to do anything. But I am combating legalism on every level. See, we Baptists, we good Baptist folks, have a problem. We don't understand the difference. We either live on the side of legalism because it's easy and we can see the lines, or we cross the license because our relationship with Jesus isn't strong enough. Did you hear me? Legalism is easy because there's a list of rules to follow. License is where we end up because our relationship with Christ doesn't give us a free pass. It gives us a solid rock to stand on, and we don't know where that rock is. So what did God create this amazing, wonderful, marvelous thing to be? I want to take you through the rhythm of how God made things. We got to go to Genesis. Now, some of you have heard this. You'll hear it again. You'll hear it in 2 years. Everything revolves around what I'm getting ready to tell you. I have said it, and I will say it again for all the visitors. Chapter 1 of the Bible is the apex of humanity. It is the be-all, end-all of everything that has ever been. God made it, and it was good, and it was perfect, and he created man, and he created woman, and he told them to be together, and they walked in the garden with God. That is it. Man together with God. And by man, I don't mean male. I mean mankind together with God. And sin broke it. Our choice broke it. And ever since then, God has been chasing us and trying to bring us back to one. My faith, my preaching, who I am is all about that. What do you want to happen? I want to take this world as close as I can get them back to one. God left the garden, sent his son, and is chasing all of us down, trying to bring us home. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're just trying to revive the initial creation. Now, in that initial creation, there were some things that happened. God created poetic. It loses something in English, but in the Hebrew, it would have sounded a lot more like Shakespeare. It would have sounded much more like a sonnet, all right? It would have had some rhyme to it. It would have had some rhythm to it. It is literally a Mesopotamian creation poem. That is what Genesis chapter 1 is, a Mesopotamian creation poem, all right? And in Hebrew, it would have had a candor. It would have had bite. It would have had rhythm. It would have had a beat to it, all right? Today, we would call it rap, all right? And God made this, and God made this, and it was good. Verse, chorus. God made this, and it was good. Verse, chorus. God made this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and it was good. God made this. The rhythm of God began with his voice being played out in the universe, and he put it in everything. Let me show you. The waves come in, and then the waves... And then the waves, and then the waves, they never go in, okay? And when they do, disaster, okay? The moon goes up, and then goes down. The moon goes, and then goes down. The sun comes, and then goes down. The sun comes, and then goes down. Night turns into, and then it turns into, and then it turns into. Summer turns into fall. Turns into, good try though, winter turns into spring. Summer, fall, winter. It doesn't go summer, summer, unless you're in Texas, all right? Summer, fall, winter, spring. And then because life comes because of it. There is death. There is new birth. There is fulfillment. There is the fall. There is death. See, it's a cycle, okay? And it happens in all of the world. It happens in mankind. January turns into... It doesn't go January, June. It never has and it never will. Monday turns into. Life has rhythm and you do too. Everybody give me the peace sign. Come on, everybody. Peace. Put your fingers together. Pull your elbow back. Stick it right here. What do you feel? Nothing. What is that? A beat, a pulse, a rhythm. And what happens if that beat stops? You're Bill Mink or you're dead. All right? You breathe in. You breathe out. That will never change. Life, in its very essence, has a rhythm. And all of creation has a rhythm as well. God's design for his people has a rhythm as well. Creation, fall, salvation, reconciliation. Creation, fall, salvation, reconciliation. There is a rhythm and a flow to everything about life. Migration has rhythm. People have rhythm. It's why they say music is the universal language. Even in the depths of Africa, they beat their drums because it wells within you. Sexuality has rhythm. It has seasons, and they are defined thusly. You ready? Raya, Ahava, and Dod. I'm going to say them again. You need to learn them. Raya, your turn. Raya, Ahava. You need the loogie. You need that. You know, like Ahmed. A. All right, yeah. All right. Ahava. Nice. Try not to spit on the person in front of you. This one you have to say slow, and you have to say, it ought to make you feel a little bit uncomfortable. You ready? Dod. Yes, that's it. Raya, Ahava, Dod. All right? If you were a Hebrew individual, all right, if you lived within the culture, None of these things happened without the other. They are Legos. They are bricks. They are, one is the foundation of the other. So if you said Ahava, Raya is implied. You cannot have Ahava if you don't have Raya. It's not possible, okay? You start with this one, you build it, and then you do this. It would be like placing a brick 2 inches in the air on nothing and expecting it to stay, all right? If you have the second layer of brick, guess what you have? The first layer of brick. You remove the first layer, there is no second layer. It's now the first layer, okay? Which we have done with sex. That's why it crumbles. What is Raya, Ahava, and Dod? We have different words for love here. The problem is we've blown it. Let me explain. I love Asian food. I mean, I love. Now, for those of you who think chicken chow mein in a box is Asian food, for all have sinned and fall short, okay? I'm talking about 24-hour tonkatsu ramen broth. Noodles that weren't at one point in their life plastic, all right, with a pork belly that has been baked down in some rich soy sauce and sliced and placed in this broth, and the noodles just, oh, come on, this is the glory. I love authentic ramen. Listen, I love Jamie. Totally different. Totally different. I love Designated Survivor, okay? And I love Taysen, but those are completely different, all right? I would hope that you do not love cheeseburgers the same way that you love children. We have perverted the word. Some of you are like, nope, cheeseburgers more. Okay. If I could throw cheese on my children and put them in the oven, maybe they'd be better. I don't know. You're kidding. Piper's like, oh, Preacher Craig. I told a story about you a couple weeks ago. You weren't here. You should have been here. All right.
Oh, my God.
Listen. We have different words for love, okay? In the Greek, we've learned some of them, and you've actually used some of them and don't know it. When you say that a movie is an erotic film, okay, there's lots of sex and physical love in it, okay? It comes from the Greek word eros. That's where that comes from. It is one of the Greek words for love. Well, the friendly, the neighborly love is philos, all right? The city of brotherly love is what? Philadelphia. Delphos is brother, philos, love. The city of brotherly love. We get our words from that. Different types of love. I love my next door neighbor who's helping me renovate my kitchen for the last 5 days, almost 10 hours a day. I love him, but there are things that I'm going to do for and with my wife that is out for us. All right? Different kinds of love. And then there's agape. That's the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God that reaches down, fights, leaves the 99, the abandoned love. Okay, sex is the same way. The love for the Hebrews is the same way. There are different words, levels, foundations of them, okay? Let's look at them now. You're going to see the same word on the screen, but they're going to have completely different meanings, okay? Let's start with Raya, all right? Raya is companion. Companion. Raya is, no, it'll come up in a minute. I haven't asked for it. Raya is companion. I'll wake Steve up when it's time. It's not time. Raya is companion. Raya is, I know you. This is the phase that we talk about late in our relationships, right before we get married, right when you get nervous about premarital counseling, when somebody knows, do you know the dirty stuff? Do you know the secrets? All right? This is, he's the most amazing, wonderful, marvelous guy, and then you see how he treats kids. Oh, he doesn't like children, all right? He is the cleanest cut, pear-parted guy, and then you see his apartment. Socks be stuck to the wall. They so stank, all right? I mean, stuff just smells coming out of places, you know, him and the house that you just can't find. Okay, this is a companionship that says, I know everything about you and I love you. This is the fighting. This is the hearing. This is the taking it all in, breathing deep, looking across the table and go, yep, I'm good. I'm good. That is Raya. It is the foundational element of love. It is no faking. It is no hiding. It is a depth of knowledge that you can't fathom in most relationships. It is Raya. Let's have Song of Solomon, chapter 5, 16. His mouth is sweetness itself. He is altogether lovely. This is my Raya, my friend, daughters of Jerusalem. This is my companion, the one I journey with. This is my chosen partner. This is the one that I will do life alongside, my love. Foundation. And remember, you can't have Ahava without Raya. So where do we go from here, Craig? That all sounds real good. Well, first, it takes work. It takes honesty. It takes integrity. It takes character. It takes time. And then you just get to level one. And we live in a microwave drive-through, get it now, can pull it up on the internet, and it's easier culture. That's why you don't know what Raya is, and that's why you're searching for it way down the road. This next one will hit you. Ahava. Ahava is basically translates a love of the will. A love of the will. I will love you. Not want, not choose. I will love you. This is, you ready? A love that never goes away. Not by feeling, but by will. It is the moment that you look in this person's eyes and you say, neither height nor depth. You say, nothing will stop the will of my love for you. My companion will be my companion for eternity. You have to have a companion before they're an eternal companion. But this is the choice to make that companionship an eternal companionship. I will never leave you or forsake you like the love of God. That is Ahava, a love of the will. No place I'd rather be than with you right now. Now, you don't get to say that when you're on the beach. You don't get to say that when you're in the middle of sex. You don't get to say that when your emotions are running wild. When the, and I think of the old school telephones with the rotary dials that were tan. When she's angry at you, picking it up, flinging it across the room at you, and you are ducking behind the couch, and you pop back up mad as sin and go, still no place I'd rather be. Ahava. Ahava. That's it. I'd rather be broke and with you. I'd rather be in the rain, in the storm, with you. I want my trials in life to stay as long as I'm with you, my companion, my love, my forever, Ahava. What's the difference between, what's the big difference between sex and dode? There is no such thing as a one-night stand. you never wake up and wonder. Because forever was chosen before. Cassandra's my Steve this morning. The greatest difference is that. That little children's book, just in case you ever wonder, no spouse will ever wonder if there is Raya and then Ahava. And then God does what he does. Let's look at some scripture before we leave this of what Ahava sounds like, what it looks like. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. This is the word Ahava in practice. Place me like a seal. Not seal. Seal. And we're not placing a water mammal on your heart. No. Like a seal, okay, over your heart. Like a seal on your arm. Listen, for a Ahava is as strong as death. It's jealousy. Listen to this description. It's jealousy unyielding. I want nothing else to have as much of your heart as I have, even unto it having a strength greater than death itself. Death is coming to us all. And in this scripture, Ahava is stronger. It's more inevitable. Woo! Come on. There's the word I've been waiting on. Ahava is more inevitable than death itself. Come on, that's rich right there. Somebody write that down. Ahava is more inevitable than death itself. You never wonder. It doesn't creep in. It is inevitable. And that creates a tunnel, a pathway for what God does. When he talks about Dode. Dode is the word for human sexuality in the scriptures. And if the word dote is used, then every Hebrew person would have assumed that Raya and Ahava already existed. This is the translation. Mingling. Caressing. Of souls. Close your eyes. Close your eyes. The word for sex in the Bible literally translates to caress and to mingle with my soul. To intertwine my spirit with the spirit of another. Look at me. God made sexuality nuclear, beyond any sense of explosion or fireworks that you could ever imagine. But it is not experienced without 100% unhindered, chosen commitment and pouring out and receiving in of the other individual. I know you, I have felt you, I have seen you, and I have gotten to this place, ready? And I've gotten to this place without sex. Sorry, what? Yeah. I've gotten to all of this jealousy, all of this depth, all of this rage without sex. And now, as our bodies connect, our souls combine and dance and mingle in a way that is inexplicable unless you've been there. Biblically speaking, Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verse 2. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for dode is more delightful than wine. It also translates, let him kiss me, never-ending kisses. Let this kiss, this moment, never leave me, for whatever is happening to my body and to my spirit pushes what wine does for me into the oblivion, the abyss. Let's look at 7:12. Let us go. Come on, this is a picture, folks. Let us go early. Think sunrise. Think the sky is pink and blue and yellow. Colors that you can't really describe because the pink has an orange in it and the orange has a red in it and the hues don't have a color only God can give. Let us go early in the morning into the vineyards and let's take in the smell as the spring comes forth and as the vines have budded and their blossoms open, and if the pomegranates are in bloom, I will give you dode. He says, let's go into the vineyard at dawn when all of the smells are right and the temperature is perfect, and let's make love in the vineyard. This is scripture. This is Bible. What have we done? What have we done? We've made that dirty. If I said that on any given Sunday, on any morning, most of y'all would be like, not very Baptist of you. Not very preacher. I didn't do it. It's been written there on this in this book you've been reading for years. Some of you decades. Some of you centuries. Come on. I want our kids to know that there is an amazing, wonderful, marvelous thing that is waiting for them. And I am unashamed to tell them that God made it, God wants it for them, and he shows them how to get there. I am just as unashamed to say there are parameters with which you must walk in order to get there. Let's teach them those. Why has sex gone so bad? Genesis chapter 2. They had everything they could have wished for and everything they could have hoped for. And they didn't just know God in a worship service, or they didn't just feel his reckless love in a song. They got to stick their fingers in his hands. They walked with God in the cool of the morning. There was no pain. There was no disease, there was no sickness, there was no death. None of that existed. And still they chose the one thing that would destroy it all. Do you all get what I'm throwing at you? God's creation was perverted with the bite of a piece of fruit. And everything that he created at that moment was drastically distorted. Food distorted into gluttony. Wine distorted into drunkenness. Sex distorted into adultery, homosexuality, bestiality, pornography, infidelity. Was it Spider-Man? Uncle that said, with great power, Paul, comes great responsibility. I contend to you that sex is one of the biggest problems this world has, because sex is one of the most powerful things God has ever done. And we are some kind of screwed up. And if you give a kid a firework, it's probably going to go badly. If you give a kid a small bomb, it's probably going to go worse. If you give a child a missile, that's going to affect the world. I give you one of God's greatest creations. Treat it as such. Give it the praise, the integrity, the honor, the awesome speaking of that it's due, and treat it with the respect that it deserves. And you will know the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God like you've never known it before when He blesses you with dough. When you actually get to mingle with another soul. You cannot do that on a screen. You can't do that without a relationship. You can only fake play with fire. And you will likely get burned. We'll conclude next week. Raya gives way to Ahava, gives way to Dode. Let's pray. God, let us thank you for the gift that is your created world, your created order, the created things. God, let us reach out to you as you reach out to us. We yearn for the gift of love that you give us. We marvel at the rhythm that you created in us. We are thankful for the companions, male, female, that we have in the room. Oh yes, we can have Raya with one another, male or female. We can have Ahava in community with our church family. We cannot have Dode without them, with our partners. And God, falling massively and passionately in love with you on a daily basis, seeking, yearning, longing for you, reaching for you, can restore anyone and anything. So we claim it, we name it, we call it yours. We accept your gift because you want us to delight in you. Bring delight back into our marriages. Bring delight back into our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.